I will give you a passage from Satyam's book, The Adventure of Consciousness, where he has spoken of mantric poetry, on which you raised the question. So I think this will be quite interesting to go through this section. This is a section on mantric poetry. The planes of consciousness are distinguished not only by different intensities of luminous vibrations, but by different sound vibrations or rhythms, which we can hear when we have the ear of the ear. The Veda mentions. This is from the Keno Upanishad, where the Rishi speaks of Chakshushaha Chakshuhu Shrotrasya Shrotra, the eye of the eye and of the ear of the ear. So this ear of the ear, when it is vibrating, then you grasp this mantric poetry. Sounds or images, lights or forces or beings are different aspects of a single existence, manifesting variously and with varying intensities according to the plane. The more we descend the ladder of consciousness, the more fragmented the sound vibrations become, as also the lights, the beings of the forces. On the vital plane, for example, we can hear the disorderly vibrations of life, jarring and throbbing, like certain types of music derived from this plane. Some kind of pop music or rock music and so on is something of this kind from the light plane. Or certain types of vital painting and poetry, which all express this broken and highly colored rhythm. The higher we rise, the more the vibrations harmonize, unify, taper off, if we may say so, like certain great notes of Beethoven's string quartets, which seem to pull us upward easily, breathlessly, to dazzling heights of pure light. Power is no longer conveyed by volume or a burst of colors, but by a high inner tension. The vibratory speed turns the rainbow of colors to pure white, to such a rapid high note that it seems to stand still, as if caught in eternity. A single sound light force, which is perhaps a sacred Indian syllable, Om, word concealed in the upper fire. In the beginning was a word, says the scriptures. There exists in India a secret knowledge based on sounds and the differences of vibratory modes of according to each plane of consciousness. If we pronounce the sound Om, for example, we clearly see its vibrations envelop the head centers. While the sound Ram touches the navel center. And since each of our centers of consciousness is in direct contact with the plane, we can, by the repetition of certain sounds, make contact with the corresponding plane of consciousness. This is the basis of an entire spiritual discipline known as Tantric, because it derives from sacred texts called Tantra. The fundamental or essential sounds which have the power to make contact are called mantras. The mantras, always secret and given to the disciple by his guru, are of all kinds. There is a multitude of degrees within each plane of consciousness and may serve the most contradictory purposes. By combining certain sounds, one can, at the lower levels of consciousness, generally the vital level, make contact with the corresponding forces and acquire quite strange powers. There are mantras that can kill in 5 minutes with violent vomiting. Mantras that can strike with precision a particular part or organ of the body. Mantras that can cure. Mantras that can start a fire or protect or cast spells. This type of magic or chemistry or vibrations simply proceeds from the conscious handling of lower vibrations. But there is a higher magic, which also proceeds from the handling of vibrations, but on higher planes of consciousness. This is poetry, music. The spiritual mantras of the Upanishads and the Vedas, the mantras a guru gives to his disciple to help him consciously make direct contact with this or that plane of consciousness, this or that force or divine being. Here, the sound holds in itself the power of the experience and realization. It is a sound that makes us see. Understandably, therefore, poetry and music, which unknowingly are a handling of secret vibrations, can be a powerful means of opening up the consciousness. If you were able to compose conscious poetry or music as a result of a conscious handling of higher vibrations, we would create masterpieces endowed with initiatory power. Instead of a poetry that is a fancy of the intellect and a notch girl of the mind, as Sri Aurobindo puts it, we would be able to create a mantric music or poetry to bring the gods into our life. For true poetry is action. It bores holes in the consciousness. We are walled in barricades through which the real can enter. It is the mantra of the real and initiation. That is what the Vedic rishis and the seers of the Upanishad did with their mantras, which has the power of communicating an illumination to one who is ready. That is what Sri Aurobindo explained in his future poetry and what he did in Savitri. The mantra or higher poetry, higher music, the sacred word, all issue from the overmind. It is the source of all creative or spiritual activities. The two no longer allow themselves to be distinguished. The categorical divisions of the intellect vanish in a clear place where everything is sacred, even the profane. We could therefore attempt to say what the overmind's particular vibration or rhythm consists in. To begin with, to anyone who has the capacity to come more or less consciously into contact with the higher planes, poets, writers, or artists, it is perfectly self-evident and perceptible that beyond a certain level of consciousness, it is no longer ideas that we see and try to translate. We hear. Vibrations or waves or rhythms literally take possession of the seeker, invade him. Then, as they come down, are clothed in words and ideas, or music, or colors. But the word or the idea, the music, the color, are the result, a secondary effect. They merely give a body to that first, terribly compelling vibration. And if the poet, the true poet, corrects his poetry again and again, it is not to improve the form, as they say, or to find a better expression, but to capture this vibrating something. For if the true vibration is missing, all the magic crumbles. as does the magic of a Vedic priest mispronouncing the mantra of the sacrifice. This is a reference to a story in the Brahmana that every word in the mantra is in its right place. A mantra is one which is called inevitable expression or incorrigible expression. It can't be corrected. The rhythm, the placement of words, the vision, all these are absolutely accurately expressed. If you change one thing to the other, even in pronouncing, the whole effect is marred. There is a story in Brahmana that somebody, a demon, wanted to kill Indra. And there was a mantra which would kill Indra by merely pronouncing that mantra. The priest mispronounced it while reciting. And instead of reading kill, that the one should kill Indra, it was pronounced to mean that one who can be killed by Indra is killed. And therefore the demon was killed in return. So in the case of mantric poetry, every word is in such a place that if you just make a little change, the whole effect would be quite different. That is why there is a tradition in India that mantras have to be pronounced perfectly well. There should be no mistake in pronunciation of the mantra. This is the tradition in India. It is to that which he is referring here.